Hello, welcome back to the second episode of Access Points, a podcast dedicated to video game discovery and telling the stories of the people who make them. My name is Richard Marsh, and with me, as always, as my co-host, is Stuart McKay. Good morning, Stuart.
Good morning. How are you? How are you today?
I am filling up with coffee, so it's a good start.
Excellent. I've had a couple of shots of espressos this morning, after one before the school run and one directly after it, so I'm a little bit wired and happy to chat all things video games on what is a beautiful day here, wherever I am. Clear blue skies. So once we're done here, I think I may head out for a little bit of a stroll.
Well, I intend to go absolutely nowhere until I have to go to work.
So. Excellent. Yeah, well, the joys of actually not working at the moment, so to speak. Actually, that's not true. Once I've done here, I've been looking at game engines, and I'm looking to spend the next 2 or 3 hours, maybe 4, playing on the Dreams engine on the PlayStation 5. So I'm sure we'll talk about that in another episode. But for today, at least, have you been? You went to EGX in London, didn't you?
Yeah, so we left it as a bit of a mystery. It's like, am I going to go with all the COVID stuff? Am I going to make it?
I would have been there myself as well, but we spoke about this last week. I actually had the illness and a broken collarbone recently, and I didn't fancy flying into London or jostling around on the London buses or tubes with a slightly busted... It's fixed now. I've been out and about and doing stuff, went for a bike ride and a swim, but I didn't fancy a London with a semi-broken collarbone. But I did miss it, and it did look interesting from what I saw online. I don't think there was as many games there. There certainly didn't appear to be any AAA people there. I don't know what your experience was.
Well, firstly, I made it, so I did actually go, and that's good news. The entrance, I'll talk about the entrance, because it was all pretty good. It was all you needed was one item of proof that you didn't have the virus. Mm-hmm. So I just had my NHS app with the sort of, you have like a pass to get in.
Yeah.
So it was as simple as, you know, everybody get it ready at the door. They just have a quick glance, to be honest, and let you through. And that was it. That was the only check for COVID stuff.
See, I'm not sure I'd have been able to get in, because I'm double vaccinated and I've got the certificate to say so, but I don't have access to the NHS app because I'm not part of the UK. And my COVID passport doesn't have a QR code on it. And I remember receiving it in the post thinking I could have knocked this up on Photoshop in about 25 minutes. So,
Well, no, to be fair, they gave you several options. It was done very well, because you could either use your pass or you could use a lateral flow test. There was about 6 different options of like different tests that you could prove. So they did make it pretty easy to get in. So that was all fine. I got there on the first day, on the Thursday. It was very quiet. I got the early bird ticket, so I didn't want to have to queue, but I don't think there was any need, really, because I got in and it was just rows of the metal barriers like snaking me around an empty hall. I was like, what's going on here?
Okay, this is the Excel Center, isn't it? So that's huge.
Yeah, it was empty. I walked straight in. I walked around the barriers, got my little wristband and just strolled in, and then I was like, okay, I'm here, I've started. And then you're immediately hit by the rezzed indie section, which is the first thing at the doorway.
Yes.
And it was pretty empty.
It was empty, goodness me. Was there anything you saw that tickled your fancy, so to speak? I was desperate to ask you if you went into the Left Field Collective, because that's normally my first point of call at any rezzed.
I spent a lot of time in that section, but I waited until towards the end because I knew I'd get sucked into that section. So
yes,
I wanted to wander around first. So I actually did the indie section, of course, and they had a big Polish group of indies there. Within 5 seconds of me walking through the door, I was sat at a little cubicle chair playing a game I'd never heard of with the developer sat next to me talking me through the game.
That really is one of the joys of going to those conferences, and why I like doing that, not just as a punter but in the role of Get Indie Gaming, because you just meet and chat with people you've never met before. I love talking to developers as much as I love watching developers when they're showing off their games. Especially if you hide a little bit out of sight, because you can see, I think I've said this before on one of my live streams, look in the developer's eyes when they're developing and showing off their game. You can see straight into their soul, particularly they're looking at the person playing the game and they're thinking, do they get it? Do they understand what I'm trying to do here? And you can see the kind of feedback loop instantaneously. And I adore watching that as much as I watch and love seeing people play the games and playing them myself. It's a huge, you go in there, or I like to go in there and look at stuff that I've never seen before. I tend to stay away from anything I know about just for the sake of, it's, you know, a busman's holiday, so to speak. But it's good to hear that you enjoyed the show. And it's a shame the news filtering out this week that EGX Rezzed seems to have died a death in the terms of it being its own standalone event.
Yeah, I mean, that's a killer blow, especially literally just the day after EGX finished. And then it gets announced that they've just killed off Rezzed straight away. It's like,
yeah, Rezzed was a special place in my heart because it felt so intimate. I mean, it was obviously a lot smaller. It was held at the Tobacco Dock in London, a fabulous, wonderfully atmospheric area of the city, aside from its awful catering, where they tried to stop you taking food into the event. And inside, there's like one stand selling pizza, which was 45 minutes or something. And the McDonald's up the road would just look at these swathes of people coming towards them and think, right, we're going to have to stock up a fillet of fish here. And it's just a shame because I loved it. It was beautifully done, really well organized, and you didn't have the huge AAA vibe and everything that went with it. And it kind of just felt more bespoke. And I will dearly miss it. I'll dearly miss Rezzed at the Tobacco Dock. And let's just see what happens with it moving to Birmingham. Because Birmingham, for me, I used to live in the city. I lived there for 10 years. It's super easy for me to fly into the Birmingham airport, jump on the train, which is only 10 minutes away, and be in, I imagine it's the NEC. They haven't said where it's going to be yet, but it should be, I'm guessing. But
Everything is at the NEC, isn't it, really?
But will it just be yet another enormous AAA? Well, that's where the money is, let's be honest. The numbers behind Rezzed will have meant that it couldn't work anymore. Yeah. But I do wonder if somebody might step in and organise something smaller, something like ID at Xbox Teams or Raw Fury or another one of those slightly larger teams that could put something together. So people have joked that we could do it, but A, I don't have the cash for that, and B, I think doing it would make me hypertensive in about 3 weeks. So I like my blood pressure down as it is.
Yeah, it'd be amazing. I tell you what, I would love to have a little stand there one day or at one of these little shows. That'd be really cool. Because I think that was one thing I was kind of missing at EGX is I would have loved almost a content creator stand.
Now, Rezzed used to have that in the past. There was something down in the basement at the Tobacco Dock where I think it was hosted by Eurogamer, funnily enough, but there were smaller creators and people having chats with them for their podcasts and live streams. But you never know. Get Indie Gaming Access Point hosting an event at, say, a small EGX. Hey, you could buy a booth. We could try and look at something. So
we can dream, Stuart.
We can dream. I don't know if anybody from Eurogamer or EGX listens to this podcast, but if they do, feel free to get in touch. Our details are down there in the description. I don't think we're not large enough yet, but we can dream, as it were.
Smooth. That was very good. I like it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But just with EGX, I think a couple of key points for me were, say, the left field section. Left field? Is that what it's called?
Yes, left field collective.
Collective. That's it. That was a brilliant section. I'm not going to go into all the games, but as you're walking down, just, you know, you're panning left and right, looking at all the screens, seeing people playing them. And I've never seen such a variety of games where each screen I'm going, what the hell is going on there? What is that? And it's just a brilliant, brilliant section.
It's always so beautifully curated. I mean, in terms of the difference, as you say, in the games, the variety.
Yeah.
Last year was a really great example. And I saw this year there was a games, I think it featured a Game Boy, and there was a Morse code inspired installation, because they're almost installations, let alone games. There's a certain high level of art going on there.
Yeah, very good. Very, again, I really enjoyed EGX. Again, it was a little bit quiet, but again, that was a Thursday morning. I mean, you know, it's going to be the quietest time.
Probably the best time to go in terms, as you said, it was quiet during the work day.
Great.
The weekends,
great for me.
weekends were always absolutely hugely busy. I think I've only done one trade show going into a Saturday before and said I would never do that again.
Yeah.
And it's like Gamescom outside of press day. It's press that's heaving. When the public opens up, my goodness me, there's hundreds of thousands of people. And there's a Gamescom smell, which is every single year. It's like hum of like a kebab shop the day after. Nice. I mean that as lovingly and politely as I possibly can say, but there's a certain element of whiffiness going on. But that's... Although this year it smelled, I imagine, of alcohol in terms of the wet wipes that everybody was using.
Well, and actually, it smelled of Coca-Cola because they were giving away free Coca-Cola. Every time you walked past the middle section, someone would just hand you an open can of the mini Coca-Colas. You just couldn't avoid it. So they were everywhere. But it was really good. They had a tabletop section.
Retro gaming section looked really good. I don't often speak about retro games, but if I'm there, I will go and have a look just to see what Amiga games and Commodore games they've got up and running.
Yeah, they had a sensible soccer section.
Brilliant.
Over all the consoles. So they had all like six consoles, you know, like the Mega Drive and SNES and stuff, all in a line with all the different versions of Sensible Soccer. It was amazing.
I went to an event once. It was an event in the Netherlands, and they had something similar, but it was all of the Simpsons games. They even had the arcade game, which I remember from my youth. Everything was lined up. It was good. It was a good little event. Maybe it's like 20 or 30 games, but the Simpsons were there in the retro section. So that was pretty.
Yeah, that was good. And I also met a developer who... Hang on. Let's change that. I'm going to say I was recognised.
Hey, get you.
That's it. A developer who actually watches a lot of my live streams.
Okay.
And joins into Borsuck Software. I'll give him a shout out. Hello.
Lovely stuff.
And gave me a t-shirt and bought me a coffee. I was like, this is the life.
You've made it. You are an influencer, as the saying goes.
But it was just really nice to actually speak to people face-to-face because, you know, you don't get that interaction, especially if you're live streaming and creating videos. To actually have the developer face-to-face asking questions, talking to them, it was fantastic. I loved it. I highly recommend, if you haven't been to one of the shows, you just go for one of the days. You don't need more than one day, I don't think.
The four-day passes seems to be a little bit gilding the lily, as the phrase awfully goes.
That's right.
Next year, I'm going to be planning on going to EGX Birmingham. I might have a look at PAX down in Boston. It's just getting in and out of the US at the moment. I mean, it still might be problematic. Who knows back then? And we shall... Yeah. We'll have to see. But I'm glad you had a good time at one of your first trade show events.
Yeah, it was. And just briefly, this is the first show I've been... I've been to shows years ago. I mean, I'm talking, you know, 20 years ago, as I went as a consumer. And I kind of found it interesting, but... It was kind of just like browsing past the game shop for me. It was just like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I didn't really have a point of going. But it completely... This is the first show I've been to as a content creator, which it totally changed my outlook on everything because I saw things in a different light. Like you said, watching the developers, watching people play their game, and they have their little twitches when people like either press the wrong button or complete something. Just the little excitement you see them. It's fascinating. Really,
that little excitement, or that little eye roll when they know that the player has done something that is potentially a bit silly, or they've realized that the design or signposting isn't quite what it is.
In the notepad comes out.
Be great to see if you go to Gamescom next August, particularly on the press day, because naturally enough, it's only press and content creation and stuff like that. So you get even more time with the developers because they tend to be out in force.
Very good.
So I had a great time when I last went in 2019, of all things. That's such a long time ago. But
Okay, well, I think that wraps up EGX for us. There's just a nice little chat about EGX. That's I'm looking forward to next year. I'm definitely looking forward to going to that again. What have you been playing? What have we been playing this week or over the last sort of 2 weeks? Because we had a bit of a mixed schedule, haven't we?
We have. I've been reasonably busy in playing quite a few games. I'm really excited to be able at the moment to have, I'll chuckle, the ability to get games early enough within the review cycle that I can spend a really good time with them. I seem to have jumped from that position of being able to get the games a day before launch, which you think, well, I can't really do an overly brilliant job here, to having games 3-4 weeks in advance, which is absolutely amazing. The first of those I got quite a long time ago, and I think it's a game that's split people down the middle, and I've been playing a little bit more than I should have of Jet the Far Shore. I don't know if you've seen that game.
I have only seen a few clips and your coverage on your video on your channel.
Yes.
That's what I've seen.
I went into Jet super excited about it. It's kind of sold as an open world discovery. I thought it was going to be like Sable, which we know we've both played an awful lot of. Mm-hmm. But I left it, and I say this again, really slightly downhearted. It really did disappoint me. And I've been seeing review after review calling out this game as a potential game of the year, that this thing is the best thing since sliced bread from across lots of media outlets. And I didn't gel with it for one reason. It's not an open world. It's a narrative story that is fairly linear, but it does allow you to do a few things here and there, but you do end up going from place to place. Secondly, it has an accessibility issue for me, and it's just a personal issue that I've spoken about before with other games and their font. Now, we had a chat about this. I can't read the font. The font is, you can't change the size of it, you can't change the default text, and unfortunately, with the blessing of dyslexia, my brain just does not process the font that they've decided to use. And what's worse is you have a voiceover, which is in a made-up language. And right. I get why they've done this. However, it forces me to read something that's on the screen very, very quickly, and I can't change it. And in the background, I've got this other influence on the brain, which is this made-up language. I mean, if it was French, if it was German, it was English, whatever, Dutch even, fine. However, because it's in a language the brain doesn't work, or my brain, I just could not play this game. And it left me hugely frustrated. I tried turning off the voiceover. I tried everything I could, but Jet the Far Shore, I have to knock up to one of these games that could have been brilliant, but for me, my brain just could not play it, and I did not like that.
That's so frustrating. It seems to be rearing its head a lot recently with accessibility options in games. I know developers, especially indies, have got an awful lot of work to do and to cover, but if accessibility is not part of your testing process, then you're doing it wrong. Because I can't believe how many times I come across this, especially my pet hate is I will play, if it's got pixel art in a game, I will play it. I love pixel art. Anything pixel art is wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, but you do not have to use pixel art to write text. Stop doing that.
Pixel art font. God. It's one of those, it's a bugbear, isn't it, that you think, this doesn't look great. But I mean, you're right. The accessibility options, I mean, adding a different font into the engine and stuff isn't that difficult. And with a developer, semi-developer hat, I mean, I'm very early days on this, but it's reasonably easy to do should you so choose. But other things, you know, the kind of the screen shakes, the flashing lights, all that sort of stuff. There was a game I played over the last week called Jet Lancer that has some brilliant aerial gameplay footage, a bit like Luftrausers from Flambeer. But the bright flashy lights here and there, without too much of a way of warning, kind of did jar with me. But yeah, so Jet was a bit here and there. Yourself, is there anything you really want to chat about today? Because I mean, I've got 5 or 6 games I've played all week. I could drone on forever.
Yeah, again, I could drone on forever. I mean, but mainly for me, Sable is the game that stood out for me the most this week. I played it for a good few hours, and I tell you what, when you leave, I'm not going to give any spoilers away or anything.
No, please don't.
When you leave the intro area, I'll say, and you head out into the sort of wider world, there's about a minute or 2 minutes of music and exploration that kicks in as you leave the world. And for me, I think it's the best piece of, what's the word I'm looking for? It's the best piece of sort of gameplay narrative that I've almost ever had.
For feelings. I completely agree. I think for me, it is one of the best open world games I've ever played. And I compare it to the likes of Jet, The Far Shore, because I was playing them side by side. Sable does have a fair few fetch quests. I think we can both agree.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But it didn't feel just a drone or a grind even to go and do them. The exploration was exploration for exploration's self, an intrinsic motivation just to go out and look at this beautiful world with the Mobius influences. Yeah. stunning. For me, it's going to be up the pointy end of Game of the Year. I'm quite sure. I adored this game. Absolutely loved it.
It's the first game, I'll tell you, it's definitely the first game I've ever left an area, and as you're riding on your little glider, I closed my eyes and just listened to the music. I was like, what am I doing? I'm playing a game here, and I'm flying along on this glider across the desert. I was just beautiful.
That is the beauty of playing video games, when you get moments like that, when it transcends the fact that you're playing a game and you are in that position of bliss. And that doesn't happen very often. And when it doesn't. Bank those moments, because I think Sable and the soundtrack, utterly gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, it has many bugs, I will say.
There's been a patch in the last week.
Those
bugs, the stuttering frame rate that I had every now and again.
It was the menu disappearing for me.
I didn't see that.
I had no menu options, so I had no start game, save, I could see nothing. I was just like, okay, that was right at the start. I don't know what I'm clicking on.
Was that on PC?
Here. It was on PC, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I played mine exclusively on the Xbox.
So maybe that's the difference. At EGX, funny enough, I did actually go to they had the developers at EGX.
Oh wow.
And they did a little 45-minute interview which podcast was it? Was it Rock Paper Shotgun?
Yeah, I think they were there.
Yeah, and they did an interview on stage with the developers. And one of the questions that came up was, what was the inspiration behind the masks in the game? Because every sort of race people wear a different mask to sort of show who they are. And I just loved their answer. It was simply because I hate drawing faces. That's where the masks came from.
Isn't that brilliant? It's one of those equivalents to, I can't remember the game it was where they had a train which they put on the top of an NPC and had the NPC running underneath the terrain because they couldn't get a train to model itself properly. No. That could be Urban Myth. I'll have to Google that later. But yeah, it's great that we both enjoyed Sable.
Yeah, wonderful game.
Have you played the new Metroid yet? Metroid Dread?
I haven't, because I still don't have a Switch.
There we go. Okay. I'm lucky enough. Oh, I picked up the new LED Switch as well this past week.
Yeah. Actually, that is tempting me back in, because I stopped by Super Rare Games at EGX.
And yes, okay.
I was looking at all their Switch stuff, and I was talking to Ryan and going, oh no, I think I need to buy a Switch again now the OLED one's come out.
I play 90% in handheld mode, so it makes perfect sense in picking up the new clearer screen, and the new Metroid looks amazing, as do all the other games on this. Side by side, compared old Switch, new Switch, the old Switch can go in the drawer. Actually, that's not true. It'll be handed down to my eldest, who's now the happiest he's been in a long time. But Metroid, I've played it, and the first 4 hours, I mean, I put a tweet out going, yay, this game is the bee's knees. 5-6 hours down, I'm thinking, this is really, really difficult. And not only in the navigation and getting around the place, but the combat, some of the bosses, and it's partly due to getting older, having a dodgy left thumb that doesn't really work anymore, but it felt kind of Dark Souls in difficulty.
Oh, no.
Some of the boss battles, and I know people will roll their eyes at me saying, oh, it's another Dark Souls sort of difficulty level, but for me it is, and I haven't finished it yet. I've kind of put it on hiatus, whether I'm actually going to go back. Wow. I probably will at some point when I can't sleep or something. That'll help me get to sleep.
It's pretty game-breaking then for you, the difficulty ramp.
The difficulty ramp, it's just certain sections that, particularly in the boss battles, that I am not able to get past, simply because you need to use all of the character's abilities to get past certain things. And I know the get good people will say, I need to get good. Fair enough. I'd just like to be able to play it and beat the darn thing.
Yeah, that is a fine line again with accessibility, isn't it? Do you create the game the way you specifically want it, or do you create it so everybody can play it? I mean,
my gut feel, as somebody who enjoys it, I don't want difficulty to be a content gate. Games like Cuphead, for example, that were sold on it being extremely hard, which it certainly is.
Yes.
Now, if you chuck that game on the easy difficulty, you can't finish the game because it won't let you past certain areas. Nice. Which was annoying. And again, one of my favorite games of all time, Dead Cells, did have some content gating in the DLCs, which you couldn't get past unless you beat it at a certain level. Ah. But
yeah,
compare that with games like Celeste that allow you to do so much with your character to help you finish the game, which for me is what I want to do. When I start something, I want to finish it, and I don't want difficulty to get in the way. But some developers, if that's your aim, that's your aim. I can't persuade you otherwise. But yeah, Metroid, as much as I missed the series, I think for me this just misses things a little bit. I'll come back to it when I'm feeling a little bit less grumpy, shall we say.
More coffee is what you need.
More coffee, quite frankly. I was tweeting out last night, I think at about 10:30, that I was playing a game which I can't talk about other than it's a game coming from Devolver Digital, and it's by somebody who made Pony Island. And I wanted to finish it, so I was having espresso at something like 10:30 last night. And it's an amazing game. I'm not going to break any embargoes, simply because the demo has been out. It was part of the Next Fest. If you've played it, you'll know this game is super weird. And it's weird in a great way, and in a way that kind of fits me as a gamer. Ooh. And I don't often say that because I don't really consider myself a gamer, so to speak, because I think that has interesting connotations. But I think Inscription, let's call it that, is going to be very, very interesting. Can't wait to see the reaction when that drops on October the 19th. So not too long.
Ah, okay.
Not so too we, long to go at all.
Cover that in the next episode? Maybe we could?
Should be able to.
Or just.
Yeah. I'm going to stream it on launch day. It's going to be a game that you can sit and play and just have fun. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see what the chat makes of it as well. So I haven't done a live stream gaming-wise since Death's Door in the summer, when the studio, dear listeners, this is a converted garage, but I'll call it a studio.
Don't break the dream.
Thank you. It hit 41 degrees when I was playing, and I was drinking almost liter after liter of water. And people in the chat going, "Are you okay? You look very red." And I was like, "You have no idea. I'm sitting in a pool of sweat." But that was a lovely game, and I enjoyed live streaming. Just the setup here is not as great as it could be for 1080p, but that's something to worry about in the future.
Yeah, you'll get there.
Yeah, it's been a fun week game-wise. I mean, I covered some other games as well. I'm Far From Noise, all the way back in 2017 that came out, which is a lovely narrative-driven game where you're in a Citroën 2CV, poised over a cliff, and you're going backwards and forwards, and it's just played in a single scene over the course of a period of time where you're just in kind of asking questions and having chats with animals, really. And it's a lovely game to just settle down into at the end of an evening and cozy and have almost a chat with yourself. So I would recommend that one down, even though it did come out in December. No. Anyway, it was late 2017. I think we'll probably put a link down in the description. So if people want to have a look at this. So all games, I'm guessing, we'll put a link down there too.
We will. Yep, absolutely. In the show notes.
So anything else that you played earlier in the week that you fancy?
Well, I did want to give a shout out to Legend Bowl. Have you seen this?
Legend Bowl? No. It instantly reminds me of my time spent playing Blood Bowl as a kid. Anything with bowl will.
You're on the right track there.
No, really?
It's an American football game.
Okay.
But it's done, again, by a solo developer. It's all pixel art, and it's just like it's like playing an American football game on the SNES. That's what it's like.
Okay. So putting me in mind of John Madden on the Mega Drive all those times.
Yeah, it's like old school American football. So it's all, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's honestly the best American football game I've ever played.
I'm going to have to look at that. Later today, I'll be all over that.
Absolutely fantastic. I've done a few streams with my friend Paul, who, again, we don't know anything about American football. We know some basics, you know. We know how to sort of get some points on the board.
American football, growing up, was half an hour on Channel 4 on a Sunday evening when... They'd do the entire week in half an hour. Occasionally, I catch it here and then again. And I always find myself watching the start of the Super Bowl, which seems to last... I mean,
it goes...
And then it's always like 10 or 11 o'clock in the evening on a Sunday, by which time I'm thinking, I've got to be up for work in 4 hours.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
But no, that's brilliant to hear. A good American football game is a thing of beauty.
But if you don't know anything about American football and you just want to play with a friend, you can pick it up really quickly. You can just use the recommended plays and just play it. Good fun, really quick games. Or you can dive into all the roster stuff that I don't understand, and you can customize all your team. Absolutely, honestly, the work he's done there is absolutely fantastic. I really highly recommend, if you like any sports games, there's co-op as well, couch co-op.
Oh, brilliant. Couch co-op is the best.
Yeah,
I'd like us at some point to do a show dedicated to couch co-op, because we both enjoy it so much.
Absolutely love it.
I'm not too bothered about online co-op, because I always end up with somebody that I'd want to mute for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, when I say online multiplayer, I usually just mean...
With friends,
yeah. Yes. It's like a far away co-op, isn't it?
Not some random far away co-op. We did so much of that during lockdown as well here as a family, playing Animal Crossing as well. My kids, it was the way they were talking and interacting with their grandparents, which was a brilliant way, in people in their 70s having a Switch and playing video games, sometimes for the first time. And that was one way of staying connected. So, yeah, the more of that, the better. Definitely, we'll have to plan that out for the next couple of weeks. Our top best, I know what mine's going to be, but I have to keep that, powder dry, so to speak.
Right, okay. So I think that pretty much wraps up this, I keep going to say first episode, but it's technically the second episode of Access Point.
The second episode, I think so. I think we've chatted a lot today. It was great, as again to hear you talk about EGX. Looking forward to doing some of the shows, and there's no doubt we'll meet up at EGX Birmingham in March of next year, potentially hosting a podcast from there. Let's do a live stream from there if we can.
Wow, all the plans are coming to action here. Look at this.
Well, you start planning early, as they say, so I might.
Yeah,
let's have a chat with some people who might be able to help us. Let's see if we can put out some feelers.
We should do that, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So this episode, we're going to try and release all the episodes now, will be Thursday at 5 p.m. UK time. Now, I'm going to say UK time because we keep switching between BST and GMT. So
UK time is the best way to do it. It makes sense for everybody.
So 5 o'clock UK time on a Thursday, that's when the show will launch.
Brilliant. So,
thank you for all your feedback, everybody. If you want to contact the show or either of us, the best place to do that is probably Twitter. And our Twitter handle is @accesspointgg.
With a website to follow in the next week or so. We have the accesspoint.gg domain, which is brilliant. And the content's going up once we've had a little bit more padding, so to speak, because putting up a site with no material doesn't help anybody.
No, absolutely. And of course, you can still follow Stuart is, of course, at Get Indie Gaming. I'm sure you knew that.
That's me, yeah.
And I am at Indie GameX on everywhere. So thank you for listening. And we look forward to talking with you, even though you're not talking with us. But we'll
brilliant.
Talk with you via the feed next week.
Cheers, everybody. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you here next time.